LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/special offer. Terms apply.
We heard you. 9 years of Bring Back the Snack Wrap, and you've won. But maybe you should have asked for more. Say hello to the Hot Honey Snack Wrap. Now you've really won. Go to McDonald's and get it while you can.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler. It is a random Tuesday in February the 3rd. So Tuesday's typically the day that I try to drop the mm-hmm. Grant Bills is in Santa Clara or wherever they're having the Super Bowl. Paul is missing. He'll be back in a couple weeks. So what do I provide to you on a Tuesday? What can I give you on a Tuesday since you're so used to Wisconsin Sports Radio Dynamos? Well, the title of the podcast already spoiled it, but Armin Sarian is here. Armin.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bart. You know, we've been swimming in the same pool for a while, but I never actually did anything like this with you. You know, it's like it's my first step into the Winklerverse. You know what it feels like when you you know, you're a 90s kid like me. So you know what this is like, the good old days when you used to go to the airport and you could like go to the gate and hang out. You know what I'm saying?
That's so, what this like, is.
No, I'm giving you an example. Hold on. So this is like stepping into the Winklerverse is like the dimension. Like when I was a kid and I you know, when you're a child, you have a youthful exuberance and you have fun with things and you have imagination and you're not cynical about life yet, you know? Mm. So like if like my dad ever had to go on a flight or something, we're at General Mitchell and like, you know, we could see him off. You didn't have to fly to go to the gate, you know?
Right.
So you go through security and it was like fun. You get to go through the little portal. And I remember thinking like, I'm going to be in a different universe through the portal. Like, you know, cause I used to watch Wishbone and stuff. So yeah. That stuff was cool. Now you're just like, I got to take my shoes off. Like, you know, we're so cynical, but so that's what it's like stepping into the Winklerverse. I'm going through, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you said that so eloquently. Cause a lot of people are just like, hey, thanks for having me. Well, like, yeah, you gave me a whole thing. That's why you're a pro.
Well, maybe if you called it like the Bart Winkler, you know, whatever it was, just probably like the regular Bart Winkler show. But when you call it the Winklerverse,
yeah,
then I'm like, all right, I'm in a different dimension, you know? Whoa.
I like the name because I was doing the Bart Winkler show and then that became my show. And then now.
No, it's a great name.
I don't have the show, and I'm a big Marvel guy, so Multiverse, okay. Winklerverse.
No, it's a great name. It's a great name. And like I said, you know, like I said, it's like you're stepping in the portal. I love that.
I like whenever I do TV hits, not all the time, but 90% of the time, they go into the Winkleverse. I get a lot of Winkleverse.
Winkle, yeah.
Winkler is hard to say for some reason.
Like Joe Winklesauce. Remember him?
Yeah. Joe Winklesauce. I've been so close, Armin. To having, because I'm never going to buy a personalized jersey. I'm not that kind of guy.
Sure.
But then we've had a Winkler, whatever his name was, Winklevoss. We had Jesse Winker.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Winklevoss twins from Social Network. Oh, that's a great movie.
It is.
I heard they're going to have another one. All right, so I've always been kind of jealous of, like, you know, like I have friends that, like, if their name's like Smith or Jones, or like, you know, or like we work with a guy whose last name's Yount. He gets to just buy the jersey and like it's his name.
Now, yeah, I would do that. I'm never putting Winkler 69 on a Packers jersey.
Right, 69. Right. The only personalized jersey I have, well, there's two, is one I got, we just got done for us. So fine, I'll wear that. Right. The other one was in high school when I finally made the tennis team and they put my name on a shirt and that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because I never had made it. That was officially the first team I ever made because I got cut from 7th grade basketball, 8th grade basketball, and all these things. So I made the tennis team, JV, you know, whatever. Everyone, no, there's no cuts at Greenfield High School for tennis, okay? So We got all the shirts with our name on it. And I mean, I slept in that thing. I mean, I was so proud of that shirt. So it was only two times I had my name on a shirt, like a jersey, you know.
Did you play in high school? Tennis and what else?
Tennis and volleyball. The only teams I could make. I got cut. I played basketball, sort of. I went out for the freshman team, and I made the team. I was on the list, but I was the manager. So,
oof.
Tough.
Because I think my letter jacket's down here, but I'm going to.
Oh, I got that. That's another one of my top. I'm sorry. I don't know what you had planned for this, but.
Nothing. I was going to tell you. I have nothing planned to say.
You notice nobody wears letter jackets anymore?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the hell? I used to roll up to Cops with like six of my friends like Fonzie. Are you kidding me? Well, at Greenfield.
You're right. Where are they? What? Do they not make them?
When I was a kid, everybody had lettered. I could be wrong. Now, I went to high school in the early 2000s, okay? I just remember so many more people having letter jackets, and not just my school, all the other schools. And if you were like a wrestling or track, those things would be jingling down the hallway with all the
medals. Oh, yeah, I never put the medals on.
Well, you were a wrestler or no? What did you do?
Well, hold on. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in high school in 02.
Yeah, okay, me too. I thought we were the same.
Yeah.
And I'll get into that. Okay, that's
all right. That's fine.
Little prep. Anyway, mine said soccer, swimming, track. So everyone's walking around with basketball, football, baseball.
Right.
And I'm walking around with soccer, swimming, track.
Yeah.
I tried to play like basketball, Armin. I sucked. And then I played rec league. And then even in rec league, they're like, oh, it'd be funny if you were the coach.
Yeah, when I played intramurals in college, I was sort of just like there for vibes. Like no
I was on a volleyball intramural team, and then they did that to me again. They go, you should actually – it'd be funny if you'd be the – like they present it the same way. Like you could dress like Pat Riley and stuff and be the coach.
Right.
Like it's 2005. Why would you have Pat Riley coaching?
Like, I mean, I really love sports, you know, so I love being part of a team. So I was embracing the role of man. I was a basketball manager through high school. I embraced it, like my friends were on it. But, of course, I wish I was good enough to play on the team, you know. But I embraced the role. And, like, when the coaches would be like, Armin, you know, you're really important part of this team and stuff like that. I'm like, you don't have to tell me that. Like, I appreciate it, but you don't have to tell me that. Like, I do enjoy doing this.
Yeah, I can put my pants on one leg at a time. You don't need to. I'm here because I want to be here.
You want to hold a clipboard? No, I'm good. You don't have to make me pretend like I'm a coach. I don't have to cosplay as a coach. You know.
Well, let me use all this and admit something to you. And it is great to talk with Armin, who, I mean, we have been, like you said, swimming in the same pool.
Yeah.
And I don't view this as I have a thing around here called Infrastructure Week, but I don't think I've ever been a dick to you.
No, yeah, no problems. I don't think so. No, there's.
I mean,
no
I've hated a lot of people you work with, but
That's what it is. Like in the periphery, I'm just kind of on the outside, watch eating the popcorn. There's no beef. I have no beef with anybody. I don't think I currently have any beef with anybody. Like you know, here Bears fans and stuff on the internet. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to squash all my beefs.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But now, nobody's willing to squash it on the other side.
Well, that's just what it is. People remember. Now, Infrastructure Week, that's like where you go through it with people. You've had a pass.
I rebuild the bridges I burned.
That's a good thing to do, Bart. I mean, I'm not saying you have to do it or anything. I'm not here to give you advice, but that's a good thing to do in general in life, right? So
I want to do it. I have a vision of the Winklerverse being the hub where anyone from any affiliation can come and talk.
Sure. That's
now,
good.
That's my dream.
Good vision.
Am I going to get people that I have openly shit on for 10 years to all of a sudden be a part of my vision? Probably not.
Well, there are some people that maybe you have to do like a little more work on, but that's all. Because until we coil off this earth, it's never over. There's always a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always a chance. Nothing's ever over until it's over. You know, that's why you never give up on anything. You know, why give up? because it's like there's no point in it. If you there's no point in it because like it's never over, unless it's I hate to be morbid, unless you're done, you know. So with life,
well, I kind of feel like
it's very morbid. Sorry.
No, while all that is true and I take it to heart, I kind of feel like my radio career might be over, and this is what I do now.
I mean, no one's radio career has ever started or ended or anything. It's like, it's just the platforms exist now in a space that everyone jumps in and out of.
Well, I am a little encouraged because I just saw a story of this coach from Osseo Fairchild.
I've been to Osseo.
Yeah, he's 91 years old.
And I'm not like Graham Bills where I pretend to hang out in every county in the state, okay? I'm not saying he pretend. I'm sure he does. But I'm saying I'm not Grant, like, where I'm that guy. But I have been Osseo unbelievably, like, uniquely. Like,
yeah, I believe it. Happened. I believe that.
Yeah.
But he's 91, and he's retired 5 times, and they keep bringing him back, and he's the assistant coach now.
Well,
he gives me motivation.
There you go. It's a lifestyle. It's not like a job. It's a lifestyle, you know, for him.
And I am glad to see – I don't know what's happened over in your neck of the woods, but you are still currently employed.
I am.
And I'm happy to see that with Drew and Billy on Fox Sports 920 at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, Fox Sports 920. We're doing it. And, give us a listen. The show is called The Huddle, and we exist over here, and we're doing it. And listen – that's all.
I was unsure about the prospect of my employment, and then they're like, good news, you still have a job. Bad news, 5 a.m. I'd be like, how much that severance check again?
Well, listen, I mean, look, it is radio, and it is a changing business, but we're all just trying to work, and we're thankfully doing it. But, you know, the nice thing is, you know, you get to work with your good friends. I mean, Billy and Drew are that for me. I've been with them for a long time. You've worked with Billy. And I think the show's good, so we invite anyone up that early to listen. And there are people up that early at 5 a.m. that enjoy having something local to listen to, you know? I mean, these are the people that used to love Les Grobstein, rest in peace, overnights. Like, there are people, you know, we have a lot of farmers, as you know, and people around the state. We're on also in Madison on Fox Sports 1070. So it's been, you know, except for the wake-up time, which is, not, you know, no one's trying to get up that early in general, if they had a choice. But once you're up and you're into it, it's been a lot of fun. So just trying to appreciate the moment as much as we can, you know?
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/special offer for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Hey, everybody, it's Babs from Brunch with Babs. And do I have a tip for you? If you share my passion for classic style and joyful living, you're going to love Birch Lane. Their timeless furniture and decor is carefully crafted to bring joy to your home for years to come, just like the memories you make there. Plus, it's delivered fast and free. Shop my hand-picked Birch Lane collection and more classic styles at birchlane.com.
I do when I'm talking about hours, obviously in radio, like 10 to 2 would be sick because then, you know, whatever.
For lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
But not necessarily
I always
for
like
business.
The morning. I like the morning.
Yeah.
Because I like, first of all, I like getting up, being done with my job at 8 or
sure.
9. I like that. I liked being able to take a nap. I'm probably getting more sleep than I have in a while, like more steady through the night sleep.
That's a good thing. That's very important. Yeah.
But I felt better when I was like getting 5 hours of shit sleep at night and then a real good 2-hour nap.
I've never been a good napper. That's my biggest issue.
Oh, it is good to be productive.
It is, but I'm also a procrastinator by nature. So being up and being productive this early it does feel good. I'm not going to lie. Like, you can walk around being like, I've been doing all this all day. What have you guys been doing? Sleeping? You know what I mean?
You're taking your kid to school? My show is over. I finished.
I know. My daughter's only 18 months, so it's not a thing yet. But I'm like thinking like, which I shouldn't be doing, is thinking this far down the road in radio. But I'm always like, you know, when she's in school, you know, I could walk her, I could get her to school and get her up, and it's the stupid things I do. But, you know, it is kind of – Billy and I have this joke about Geezer Palooza. We planned an event for 10 years from now where we're both going to – I'll be 50 and he'll be 40, and we're going to have a bus tour across the state called Geezer Palooza where we accept being old. And and it's definitely going to happen because it's 10 years from now, you know. So
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I love that. I made the same mistake when my kid was 18 months. I said, yeah, oh, this morning shift will be great. Since then, I've been laid off twice by the same company.
Well, change is a constant, I guess. You know, that's one thing. It's like, if you don't like change, you should have done something else, you know. But what isn't changing in our world these days? Like, you know what I mean? You know, so.
Well, you're, what a positive attitude you
sorry,
have.
It's too much.
I should have talked to you a long time ago.
That doesn't always pay off. I wouldn't worry. Okay, back to letter jackets. All
yes,
right.
Thank you.
I had the academic letter.
Rough.
I thought so, but then I was proud of having a letter. So then I was like, how do I still look like I'm a cool athlete? But I'm like, everybody in school knows who I am. So I'm not faking it anyway, right?
Yeah, my letter jacket, I think, was a fraud because in the three sports I lettered in, soccer was a minutes requirement, which I made. But my dad was the coach.
All right.
Swimming, you just had to get a certain time in different events. And I was very slow and I couldn't get any time in any event. So at practice once, a guy like who was really good slowed down
to get you
the 500 because he's like, oh, yeah, Bart needs a 630. I can do a 630.
He gave me the stray hand. Huh? He gave me the stray hand.
Yeah, he did.
So what so, nobody remembers that. They just remember the letter. Eventually, I got
and
one.
In track, you just had to be in one meet, one time.
I eventually, you know, I was eventually on varsity for tennis and volleyball, which felt good. Didn't, you know, a lot of bench time, but that was okay. I don't know why. I'm sorry. I was schizophrenic there, changing subjects. Back to what you wanted to talk about. Sorry. About radio and infrastructure.
Oh, no, I didn't. I was just going to say that it's been a long time that we've been, you know, it. I feel like, is it our fault we haven't talked like this, or is it the powers that be that kept us apart?
Good question. I'm going to choose to look at it this way. We just never had this occasion to work at the same place. Mm. Most people in radio locally, eventually, it's incestuous. Everyone works everywhere, right?
Whose fault do you think that is? Mine, 100%?
Well, I don't think there is fault. To place you see you go to that place where you think someone's to blame, right? You're like an Armenian grandmother. You always have someone to blame, you know.
But I looked at it. Let's open it up.
Sure.
Let me be open. I always looked at it like, we have to be fighting.
I get it because it's a competitive business.
But then I realized we're fighting for a very small portion of the pie. Wouldn't it be better if we were just friends?
Existing, yes.
And I had that epiphany.
That's a good epiphany to have, yeah. Epiphany.
I had that way after. Like I woke up one day, burned every house down in the neighborhood, and then when I was flaming the final house, I was thinking, it was a bad idea.
So you're saying you learned your lesson a little later than you wanted?
Yeah.
Well, the metaphor is true. Like, we're all in the same pool of piranhas looking for that piece of hamburger. So we're not eating each other. We're looking for the same meal. Mm. And then you look around at your fellow piranhas and you go, isn't there a better way? But, you know, it's a little dramatic.
But then I would look at these piranhas and be like, not only are you eating that burger, I don't like how you're eating that burger.
Sure. And you would like, I always wish I probably should have a little more of that in me. I never did. You know,
well, you're working in radio right now. I'm in my basement.
I know
your way's better.
Like I said, everything's relative, right? There are other people, quote unquote, not working in radio that are more successful than people, quote, working in radio. Mm. And they're doing the same thing, right?
True.
Talking into a mic.
Yeah.
So who's right. more? I don't, it's all relative. It's all relative, right? So.
Well, I don't want this to be the only time we ever talk. Let me.
Okay.
Get some sports in here, if I may.
Let's do it.
And let's just do a rapid, you know, I'll talk about a team.
What should we talk about? Yeah.
Let's kind of hit everything real quick. You want to do that?
I'm ready.
Since we just played footsie for 18 minutes.
See, that still makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? To be like, not to do it like that. Do you feel better when you're like in a cage match? You feel more comfortable with it? The opposite. I'm conflict avoidance. You know,
I don't want conflict.
Right.
But then I keep seeing people do things that I don't like and I have to say something.
Which is totally fair. You've got to be true to yourself. Otherwise, what are you doing with this space? You know, you've got to say what you feel. I can't blame
you. When I watch ESPN Madison and everybody on that stream's in a Bears jersey, I have to say something.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I do those things usually on Twitter.
Well, I do too. And then you know what's really bothering me about Twitter lately? I get a lot of people being like, wow, are you okay? You're crashing out. Oh, you, and they're right. And I'm like, oh, it's that obvious shit.
Well, I thought you meant just the video of you shoveling the driveway, crashing out.
Oh, yeah. There is the world's softest fall ever.
It can be serious if it's serious, but there is a point to be made that, like, the reality we see on the internet is never the reality of life, usually. Like, it always amazes me, like, if I'll say, and I'll use the example because it's the freshest. Recently, I would, like, you know, rip on the Bears being overrated or Caleb Williams. And, you know, it would catch Bears algorithms of their fans, and they would come at you with the craziest stuff. That's just what Twitter is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them would say stuff to me that they would think would hurt my feelings. And I'm like, this is not, none of this is reality. If you have like you are probably not a bot, like a person with like a little Caleb season, like little thing on it with Caleb. And you tell me stuff like, you know, you're trying to brag to me about how much better your life is or how much money you make. Some guy was like, I live in Hawaii and I made $5,000 this morning and you're still a loser. I'm like, I just don't think Caleb's completion percentage is good. I don't care what you make or where you live. And if that's real, and like, what do you know about my life? It's just so funny to me. Like I think about like the shoveling thing. It's such a simple, normal, ordinary moment that equalizes everything. People try and go on the internet to try and be someone they're not or that they think they can be. And we're all the same people that have to shovel our driveway in the end. And we're all just like, what are we doing? What are we doing on the internet trying to pretend that we're in some alternate reality? You know, I don't know if I explained that right. But
no, you did. Let's actually watch me shovel. I love it.
No, I don't want to see you fall. I love it because of how much everyone can relate to that. We've all been here, you know?
Yeah, but doesn't it look like it doesn't look like I fall. It looks like I get shot. So there I am shoveling.
Left leg right here. Boom. Yeah. And then you stayed there, which I think you knew the camera was rolling and you're like, I got to do this. I got to stay down.
I'm even doing a bit while shoveling with the security camera.
It's okay with us to embrace our normal vulnerabilities in life. So many people think that they're like, man, I got to get back on Twitter and talk tough to somebody. I'm like, why? Well, this is so silly. Like, it's not that you shouldn't have fun with it or shouldn't do it or like, yeah, if someone wants to fight with me about a sports topic, I'll debate them all day. It's entertaining. But that's what it should be. I'm like, otherwise, like, some people take it so seriously and it cracks me up.
Like, I do have a problem. You mentioned Chicago. I have a problem with Chicago. And Chicago fans will say we live rent-free in your head. Right. They do in my head.
Yeah, because what's wrong with that? That's what sports is about. And they live, and we live rent-free in their head. What's the difference?
My issue is when I look at Twitter or this, or anything that I do, I look at anything that I do as I am putting this out to the audience of Wisconsin. And I would like Wisconsin people that know it to find it or maybe share it.
Exactly.
When it breaks through, and a lot of my Chicago stuff will break through to Chicago, I can feel the sheer number, because they got way more fans. It's way bigger.
It's a bigger pool.
I can feel it. And if I piss off a Packer fan about LaFleur, it's like, okay, whatever. If it's Chicago, it's all day long, and it's the same cry more.
Yeah.
Clown emoji. It's the same shit. I don't get mad. Like, I feel like I have a thick skin. You can say shit about me. I have a thin skin when it comes to the insults not being creative.
Creative, exactly.
Thank you.
I've said that. Like I, it doesn't bother
Rymore me. Is going to get me bitching all day. But if you say, hey, Bart, you know, the bags under your eyes, like...
I get that with the nose. I get that with the nose.
Yeah.
I get 30
people. Do that instead, please.
Yeah. Like, I get 30 people will tell me, like, your nose is big. Why would I care? What does that have to do with anything? Do you think this kid's it's an eighth grader, right? Probably, right? I'm arguing with a 14-year-old, all right?
I know.
Why would I care if a 14-year-old boy thinks my nose is big? And it makes me more mad, not what you think about my nose being big, but that you think I'll actually care that will affect me. Like, it makes me annoyed that you think I will care about that. It's like, this is so silly. Be more creative with it. Like, be more interesting to me. Otherwise, you just bore me. If you're going to talk about, like, you know, stuff like that, it's just boring. Like, you know what I mean?
The insults that people have that they think would affect us don't. But when they lack an insult, that actually makes us mad.
If you dug deep and said something like, you know, Jordan Love's never done that, to be more creative with it. Like I know these kids are like all in seventh grade usually, right? So I'll bounce back with some Eric Kramer reference from the 95 Bears and they don't know what to do. So they're like, yeah, well, the girl's never going to like you. I'm like, okay, I'm married. Like, I don't, this is so silly. But then married, the thing I always think to myself, this is weird. The thing I always think to myself is also like, when this is happening and they're saying like the things they think are the most vile, I like almost feel pity for them thinking in 20 years when you're in your 30s, you're going to feel real dumb that you're going to feel so dumb that you put that in the internet. Like, it's going to be like looking at your old yearbook and seeing what you used to write in your friends' yearbooks. But now those are on the internet. It's so weird, you know?
Yeah, where do you think our lives are if everything we did was online?
Oh, my gosh. It would probably be more boringly ordinary embarrassing than we think, though. It'd be ordinary, but it'd be like, it would have been
like... shit I used to do that I would have, like, we used to egg trucks as they would come by my friend's house.
Oh, I didn't do any of that stuff. But I know people would do it. Like,
we would record... If I grew up in this time, I'd record it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Egging a semi.
Being so much... you'd just be so embarrassed about, like, things you did as a kid. But it would probably be most of, like, you're playing Nintendo 60... You're playing Mario Kart 64, and you beat your buddy, and, like, you're trolling him by beating him in Nintendo 64 by videotaping him, but now it's on the internet. I don't know. When you grew up in the 90s, and you did too, so I know you know this, it's hard to try to make sense of this alternate reality of growing up now. I can't imagine what it would be like. Because life...
We grew up in the best time. We grew up in the best time.
There's no question. I mean, I know the 70s dads and the 80s people will say this too, which is fine. Maybe it was. There's no question the 90s were the best decade to grow up in. No question.
Because we got the taste of everything, but we know... Like, the thing I always reference is I used to have to go on my TV. There was like a... You'd have to move it. It wasn't a remote. And it wasn't a knob. It was like this new contraption that was like, look at this. You don't have to. It was, you plugged it in, but it was. And now, you know, I'm playing Pac-Man on my new fucking smart TV. It's like, I shouldn't be able to do this. It's fucking annoying. But yeah, it was better. Obviously, it was better. But now, we as adults, like, I fall down and shovel, and I'm like, oh, gotta put that on Instagram.
I fall into that trap too. I'm always like thinking,
we didn't grow up with that, but now I'm in content mode.
No, it's different, but it's also the work we do. But it's also like, you know, my daughter did something hilarious. I gotta show the world this. I'm like, I probably shouldn't do that, so I don't do that. You know, but you
I don't have put my kid online.
I don't either. I don't either. But I have don't the instinct it. To. Trust me.
You'd get so many more likes if you did, but don't do it.
It's interesting. It's true. The best of us fight that base need for the dopamine. It's hard. It's hard to realize that. But, hey, that's life. We're just trying to navigate it. All right. Should we do some sport? I feel bad because I always do this. I always get people. I hijack every conversation with some, you know, some point that doesn't matter. So I really feel self-conscious about that. Did you want to talk sports?
Well, I did, but now we kind of haven't. So now I kind of don't know if I do, and I want to label this sports and stuff.
There you go. Now you can embrace it. The thing you always ran from.
No. All right. I always embraced it. May I?
Go ahead.
Okay. Can I share to the world my problem with sports and stuff? All right. So I think that that is absolutely the way to do it. You can't always talk sports every minute of the day. You can't do it.
Right.
I like to think of the sports as like a highway. Sports talk radio, I'm on a highway. And you take off ramps, you got to stop for a sandwich, you got to go to the bathroom. Sometimes you're by your old neighborhood and you're like, I want to drive around a little bit. I think you can always drive around, but you should have to know where the highway is. Like,
yeah, I get it.
I know how I'm getting back on.
I get that.
And I think that's a natural thing every show does. I didn't like that it was advertised as the other stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, that's, you know, yeah, that's one thing, branding and stuff. The other thing is we were going, you know, you going through COVID, it kind of was a natural off-ramp to do the stuff more, you know, and some of that.
Right, you guys did good stuff. I did like, hey, wear a mask and get vaccinated, and then we lost a lot of spots.
Yeah, and when it was like, for us, it was like probably like rank your best breakfast cereals and stuff like that. Yeah.
Or let's have on Bill Wennington for like the 90th station to have him on when that Last Dance was out.
That was the best thing that ever happened to Bill Wennington. Although, you know, and Horby will like this. I know he's out there listening. I cannot get over the disrespect that Luke Longley and Tony Kukoc got in that thing. 10 hours, and they didn't talk about them at all. Terrible.
Well, they hated Kukoc. Could you imagine Bill Wennington? Bill Wennington sitting at home like, yeah, I'll be a part of this. Should I expect, like, some radio calls? Maybe. I mean, I'm sure you'll get a Chicago station. But and then COVID happens, and then hey, do you have Bill Wennington's number? Do you have Bill Wennington? Wennington can't keep up.
Right. And he's the guy that would probably answer his phone. No one's getting Scotty on the phone, you know, or Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about the whole Last Dance was the Bill Wennington aspect. So that was my thing with sports and stuff. It's a fine strategy.
And it's okay. Everyone has a taste and an opinion. They're allowed to have that, you know.
I mean, I was probably wrong.
Well, who decides that?
Me, hindsight.
Right, you. So it's like, if you believe that, that's fine. I mean, like, it's for you to discern on your own. You know, everyone's got an opinion. No one should tell you how to program a show. Like, I always said that to people. Like, people try to do that all the time. They'll be like, you know, you should talk about this, this, and this. Well, why? Because you want to talk about that? That's okay if you like it, but that doesn't mean everyone does, you know? And there are people that think their opinion matters more than others. And I'm like, your opinion matters just like one raisin in a trail mix matters. It's a small of a big hole. And that's not to say I won't take it earnestly and honestly, but I have to consider more than just you. I'm not complaining about listeners. That's not what I'm trying to do. But like, there are people that say that, like, you guys should talk more of this or less of this. I'm like, all right, well, who's to say what's right or wrong? Like, what, you know, what for higher ratings? For what you like, I mean, it's all relative.
Well, then I would hate, we would get into this trap where it'd be like, hey, you guys haven't talked about the Brewers. And then we would say,
this is a 4-hour show. We talked about the Brewers at 8:20 this morning.
And then we're not thinking in our head like, this guy's got a 10-minute commute and the Brewers won last night. He stayed up and watched it. He wants to listen when he turns on the radio. And here we are talking about fucking raisins and trail mix.
Yeah, but isn't he also wrong for assuming we should know his 10-minute commutes and like talk about the things he's thinking of every day for the same 10 minutes just in case other guys like him are in the car?
I think we've stumbled onto something else. I think we're all wrong to always assume everybody everything.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. There are a small amount of people that listen to the show from wire to wire. And that was always interesting. And the ones that do like you anyway, right?
Yeah, but then those are the ones you start thinking of the most. Like, yeah. Oh, I can't replay this interview.
Right. This is the best era in the history of this medium for people that have the niche interest that they wanted to hear more and they didn't get to hear. people would always say, why don't you talk about hockey or NASCAR or things like that? Well, you know, because the majority of people, but now there's a podcast for everybody.
So and what have that. We talked about? We've talked for 30 minutes about what?
Stuff. No, I mean, that's my problem sometimes. So that's why I want to make sure you wanted to talk about. Well, what was your plan? Did you have one? Be honest. Be honest.
My plan was just the bullshit like this.
Okay, then. That was your plan.
But then I wanted to do a little quick thing on every team, and now I don't.
We can still do it. Let's start with, can I give you a Super Bowl take?
Yeah.
Do you care who wins?
Sort of.
I sort of care that the Patriots lose. Why? I don't think it's right that their fans should be given this fortune of another great team right after they just had the greatest fortune. Every great dynasty in sports history, their fan bases traditionally have had to go through a lot of terrible times. 60s Packers. Packers fans are subjected to 25 years of misery. The 90s Bulls.
They were?
The 70s and the 80s.
Never heard of them.
Oh, I got you. See, I'm so gullible. See, Billy's laughing because he knows how gullible I am. All right, I believe you. The 90s Bulls, they're still trying to find their way. They sort of had it with Derrick Rose, but it took them – they still haven't had any success since, like, I shouldn't say any success. They still have not been able to reach that summit again. Like, their fans are frustrated, right? The Yankees, at the end of the 90s, they won one World Series in the last 25 years. You should be subjected to hard times as a fan base when the sports gods give you the fortune that the Patriots fans were given, right, with all those Super Bowls. And now they were on their way. 3-win seasons. You are supposed to be bad. This is how I think of things. And they were just given this great team and this great moment and this gilded path to the Super Bowl. Gilded path. Ooh. Easiest path that anyone's ever had. Easiest. And they're going to fall ass backwards into another Lombardi trophy. They don't deserve those trophies. We do. We're the Packer fans. We do. That's how I think. It's probably wrong. But
no, you're. I'm with you on that same logic. I'd rather watch Reed and Mahomes again than Vrabel and Drake May.
Well, that's true, too. It's also more fun. Although I think that the Seahawks are kind of fun to watch.
My problem with the Patriots isn't that well, it is. It's what you said. But then also, let's say that Drake May and Mike Vrabel have a dynasty. And then you're going to go to a Patriots fan and be like, I hate that you have a dynasty.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll say, which one? But then you'll say the Brady one. And then they'll say, which Brady one? We had two.
And that's tough.
That sucks. I guess I'm rooting for Seattle, even though I hate them, but it's different, but it's not.
Well, I hated Seattle when it was like the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman Seattle Seahawks. Because how they ended my dreams. I don't care about them right now. I don't.
Yeah,
they're almost irrelevant. That's like they're as irrelevant to me now as when they were in the AFC. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, most people don't. When they were the Kingdom with
do you remember the greatest part about sports in the 90s?
First of all, this is right up my alley. So whatever you're gonna say, I'm already excited about.
It was Mike Patrick and Paul McGuire and Joe Theismann.
Yeah,
it was Sunday Night Football.
Great group.
When Sunday Night Football was nothing. They did not care about it. And it was always like Saints Seahawks. AFC and it's just in it.
Right,
like,
right.
That I miss, like Sunday Night Football is great now, but I miss when it was like, all right, we all watch football. We all watch primetime. And now the real NFL fans are going to watch Joe Horn.
When ESPN Sunday Night Football was like for outsiders.
Yeah.
Or like that was like the one sense you got that you had some sort of satellite piped in outsider non-network deal. And
even though it was on ESPN, it was on cable.
And I would grow up terrified of those games because I didn't have cable growing up. And I always was worried I was going to not get the game. But of course, I realized soon that locally it'd be picked up. You know, I'm like, oh gosh, ESPN, we don't have that. I can't watch the Packers.
Oh, but you still missed out on the other games. He missed out on every other week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm saying Packers were my world. So that was when I was scared to miss it, you know. But you're right. When I didn't have cable, we didn't see those other games. But then you can watch NFL primetime, so it didn't matter.
I started watching Primetime again last year. I started watching the Berman and Booger. Yeah.
Jackson, no? Or was it Booger?
Now it's Booger McFarlane.
Yeah. It was fun. Those are the great memories you have. But it's also a time capsule you can't get back. It's like the NBA and NBC thing. I don't know what I was excited for like anybody else, because I remember NBA and NBC when I was, you know, 10 years old. But I don't know what I expected it to be. And Tirico's great, but it's not. I still have this, you know, very naive image that Bob Costas is still 45 and Marv Albert's still in his prime with Mike Fratello. That's not the case anymore, though, you know, with the Peacock and everything. And it's not the case anymore.
Well, and they had a Sunday night showcase, and but there was also 10 other games on, and then.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not even that. It's just, I don't know.
And then if you're like, oh, well, the music's back. Yeah, the music's been on Big East games for 6 years.
That's the thing. Fox bought that music from them like 10 years ago. So why do they both get to use it now? It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't know.
I guess the only sports thing that we need to talk about right now.
Giannis?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think he gets dealt till the summer. No.
I don't mind.
If at all.
It's definitely not a sure thing. And I'm going to go down with the ship. Like I told Billy, Dido, white flag. There'll be no white flag upon my door. I'm going down with the ship. I will be steadfast thinking that we're worse off without him. I said one of the things I almost thought I'd never, ever in my life say. But I said it. Part of me would rather lose with Giannis than win without him.
I would.
But to what level winning? You know, of course, I'd rather win a championship without him. But, like, to what level? Because.
Do you want to see him win somewhere else? I don't.
No, but I don't like. The worst part about this whole Giannis thing is what the whole NBA media machine has done to make Bucks fans feel about him. They've attributed things to him like, I'm tired of his antics. Just get rid of him. What antics? It's just because. It's been shoved in your face that he might get traded for 5 years that you automatically are attributing Giannis. You know what I mean? And it's like.
And then now ESPN's like, why are we still talking about this? This is so annoying. Nothing ever happened. Maybe don't talk about it in 2018.
I hate what. I see so many Bucks fans, and maybe they just didn't like the NBA anyway. Okay, there's a lot more to it. That are like, Giannis is a diva. I'm tired. All this nonsense. And I'm like, I don't think any of that's true or fair, and I hate the way they made us feel about Giannis. That's the worst thing about it. It's not right, in my opinion.
Remember, here's how long this has been going on. Because I've been very aggressive at Shams, because I think he's making shit up, and I think he's trying to will it to happen. But remember when Malika Andrews interviewed Giannis and Giannis was pissed after the game and left?
Yes, and Chris was left holding the bag.
Yeah,
I'm gonna answer that.
Let me just say this to everybody who is like this. That was before COVID. That was before COVID.
Pre-COVID, pre-championship.
That's how long. If you use that as a line of demarcation, but it's been happening longer than that. So, yeah, I'm pissed that they're going to see a trade, take a victory lap for something. No. It's like you and Billy and your little bus tour. You're going to throw that together in the last 2 weeks. You weren't planning it for 10. You don't get credit for planning it for 10 years.
I know, just because I mentioned and made jokes about it 10 years ago. Well, it's a revolting notion that just because we exist – we should willingly give away our greatest players for nothing. Like that we should just do it. That's nonsense. Gobert got 5 firsts. Bridges got 5 firsts. Like, and people are like, you should just be happy to take some. Well, this is ridiculous. We're not stupid.
Just
like,
take them. You got to trade them, but for nothing.
I don't remember anyone like saying this about Robin Yount all through the 80s and Molitor all through the 80s. Maybe they were. I was young, but I don't remember this. Like, just because that a great player exists in a small market, that they're automatically, like, you know, entitled. Other big markets are entitled to get the best players just because they exist.
In Miami, who hasn't like signed a real free agent in 10 years?
That's the worst thing about the
way.
Well,
Bucks will get Terry Rozier back. Isn't he in prison?
That's insulting. It's insulting and revolting that they think we're that stupid to think. We know I know this is not how it works. So, you know, don't say like, oh, you're being ridiculous. If we're just doing a straight market value of what those other players went for, Giannis should be worth 15 first round picks, but it's not going to ever happen. But I'm just saying, you want me to intelligently, willingly see the fact that Desmond Bain went for what, right? Four?
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be okay with like, well, the market's changed. Just take Draymond. Get out of here.
Yeah, take Draymond, and then he's going to sign back with the Warriors.
And the worst part of it is I don't think Giannis really wants to go. I don't believe it. I'll never believe he truly wants to ever leave. I think he's just been trying to process this emotionally all year, knowing that everyone's saying you should go, you have to go, and knowing that he probably has to if he wants to win. And he one day is going to, I think, realize that winning again might not have been all that important. And I don't know. I still think he could retire and go to Greece or something or play in Greece.
I think he should. I think he should start whatever's going on over there.
That's a good way to do it because that's where his heart is. You can tell. He was so
heart, his heart's not in Milwaukee. Is his heart in the NBA?
That's a good question. I mean,
that's
question. His heart was in Milwaukee for a while, and he showed passion being here the whole time. But what doing what he's done with the Greek team meant to him, you could tell how deeply entrenched that was emotionally for him. And it's hard to separate yourself from that sometimes when you feel such a pull. I get it. If I grew up to be a great athlete and, like, I had a chance to do it for Milwaukee, I don't know. That's how he feels about his homeland. I think there's a lot of people, American fans, that don't understand that sometimes. And it's like he feels more fulfilled doing that than just being an NBA mercenary. And like, well, NBA pays his bills. Well, I don't think money's his issue. Not that he doesn't like money. He clearly does. But like, I don't think
they wouldn't have had the hottest store in town, the Adenacumpros store, if they didn't like money.
Did you go shopping there?
I mean, I tried, but everything was out of stock.
Better than Fanatics. Fanatics doesn't have Super Bowl things in stock, jerseys in stock.
Can we talk about that openly? I hate Fanatics.
I just tweeted N Fanatics on Twitter.
But, like, I hate Michael Rubin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about this guy, so I don't know how to make it personal. But, like, I just hate what they did.
He has these white parties.
Oh, I didn't know about any of that stuff. Is that true?
He's the one that has that house when you see these guys in the video where it's like Tom Brady's all dressed in white. And why is Josh Gadd there and shit like that?
A guy that cares about being rich and elite. Is that
a guy that, like, bought his friends.
Yeah. I just hate what he's done to sports merchandising, which is one of the most fun things in my life growing up in the 90s. But like it just makes it worse to be a sports fan.
That's why if you want fresh gear, pop off any of the items Armin and I are wearing today. We got the Admirals. We're rocking the Admirals.
Go to the Admirals games. Get some great gear. Go tonight. I'm game hosting.
Who do they play? The Rockford Rocks?
Tuesday the 3rd. The Rockford Rocks? What is the...
The Wolves. No, is it the Rockford Wolves?
No, the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Fuck. Chicago Wolves.
I don't think they're playing them today, though, are they? Hold on.
I am trying to name teams I can think of.
Tonight is Cameron Knight.
Grand Rapids.
The Griffins.
Griffins.
Well.
Is that who they're playing?
Yeah. I think. I should know this. I'm
trying to think
sure.
of all the teams that, because I used to board op those games with Simsy.
Well, yeah, now, you know, see, we all do the same things after a while. We're playing the Griffins tonight. Let me just get, it's been a busy morning, so I should know this, but yes, Grand Rapids tonight.
Are they going to win?
The Grand Rapids Griffins are the best team in the AHL this year by far. So I can't tell you. In good faith, I think they will, but I believe they will. How about that?
All right, well, coming back here for a post-game show. Armin, I'm going to wrap it up today, and we're going to do this again.
Good chopping it up with you, Bart. Is Bart your real name? Because I always tell Billy all these guys, not you, all these athletes go by their middle names, and you don't realize it. You Google sometimes how many guys don't go by their first name. It's crazy. Like Bart Starr's first name was Brian. Now, I know Bart is probably your first name, but like I think of Bart, I think of Bart Starr. I think of Brian Bart Starr. Bartlett. Brian.
Brian Bartlett Starr.
Is Bart short for Bartlett?
No, it's my name is Bart. And then people will say, just Bart.
Right. That's what I just
said.
Well,
I just said my name is Bart. If my name was Bartholomew, I would have said that.
Did you say Bartholomew?
I did. I don't even know how to say it.
I think it's
not my name.
It's just Bartholomew.
That's how much it's not my name. I don't know.
That's fine, dude.
Bartholomew is what I said, right?
Thanks for thanks for having me in the Winkler verse. I said it right.
You did it.
It was good to be in here. It's good that I don't consider this part of infrastructure because we don't need that.
Well, come on your show. I might have to infrastructure one of your co-hosts, but other than that.
Absolutely. And we invite everyone to listen to The Huddle 5 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday on Fox Sports 920 and Fox Sports 1070 if you're in Madison trying to make it happen. So it's a great show. I think you'd enjoy it, Bart. I know you would.
I get up at 8, so.
That's fair. But you can also check us out.
I love the podcast. I listen on demand. I mean, the great Fox Sports app.
And YouTube. Everyone's on YouTube now.
Everyone's on YouTube. Oh, yeah, I've caught you guys on YouTube. I have. I have. Armin, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark.
For stopping into the Winklerverse.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/special offer for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Hi, neighbor. Welcome to Birch Lane, your home for classic furniture and decor. Make the most of every special moment this spring with new beds and dressers, home reno essentials, and more. Our timeless styles are crafted to bring joy for years to come and delivered fast and free so you can celebrate what matters most. It's classic style for joyful living. Shop Birch Lane, a Wayfair specialty brand, at birchlane.com.
My thank you to Armin Sarian for joining us. Fox Sports 920 now, formerly, as you know, 97.3 The Game. I had a very nice time talking with Armin. I enjoyed our conversation. Armin and I have been, I would say, admirers of each other's work. I could tell you I have been for him. And so to chop it up with him was fun. And we didn't really get to much sports, which was not the plan. But it's too ironic and great to have it any other way. I do have some voicemails I want to play. I'm going to stay on YouTube for these. Sometimes I just do them on the audio, but I'll stay on YouTube. If you are watching on YouTube, I just hold my phone up to my microphone. It is the best way that I've found to do this. I've tried to play it. I'll come up with a different way. I'll do it in 10 years. I'll get it done by the time Armin and Billy are driving up to Osseo Fairchild. So I'll have that here in just a minute. We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART. 25% off every order. That's every order. That's every time you use it. 25% off every order at happyplacehemp.com. You browse the website. You say, I like these gummies. These ones will help me sleep. These ones will help me focus. These ones will make me feel good. Oh, they got seltzers. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at all these other things that they have. Wow, great accessories and product. Check it all out. Then you go and say cart. You go to buy it. And then whammo blammo. Code BART. My real name, Bart Tholomule. I don't know how to say it. Bart, B-A-R-T, Bart. Bart. So let me get to the voicemails. Thanks to our friends at Carl's Place. 402-915-2278. 402-915-BART. I've got a couple of different ones. I think four in total. So again, I'll play them. This first one's going to be from David in Buffalo. A couple of Davids here. I got a David, a Tom, a Jake. And again, you can call in on the Carl's Place voicemail line and leave your voicemails. I'm glad to see more people doing that again. That's something we had a lot of. I think it adds to the show. Just, you know, can you do it or not? Do you have time? Do you remember? Carl's Place brings you the voicemails. And again, every link that I have to go check out Carl's Place is available on my website, on the link tree, in these YouTube comments. So use that and then browse around there as well. All right. This one is from David talking about what Carlos and I were talking about Monday, not being included in the Barrett Media Top 20 National Shows list. Oh, hold on. I got to figure out how to do it. Yep. Grown man here.
Hey, Bart, what's up? This is David from Buffalo calling in about the top 20 rankings of the sports talk shows for the national shows there that Barrett Media had. Some of them I agree with. I think Cowherd, if you just took Cowherd on Mondays during football, I think he's fantastic. The rest of the week, he's not great. Rome, he's been there forever. I get it. He's kind of, you know, like the veteran who, you know, is still sort of relevant, you know, in the league. He's like LeBron or maybe Favre is a year the Vikings almost went to the Super Bowl. At this point, Adam Schein is good. He has a lot of takes. I definitely agree with him being up there. The unsportsmanlike thing, the reason they are on there is because the ESPN Radio is run by Good Karma and Evan Cohen works for them. Evan isn't terrible. He knows a little bit. Canny has a lot of hot takes and Michelle Smallman is hot and knows more about sports than I thought. Other than that, I don't really agree with any of them. I don't really know a lot of those shows. I've heard of some of the shows. I just like a lot of those shows just don't really interest me that much, honestly. But yeah, it's hard to say like what really resonates and who's one or who's five or how do you really rank it? Do you rank it by callers? Do you rank it by, you know, takes? Do you rank it by knowledge? Do you rank it by, you know, do they kiss ass the most? Who really knows, man? It's kind of like the college football poll. I mean, like, you know, when it comes out, like, you know, at the beginning of the year, like, how do you really know who's good? So that's all I got for you, man. I'll give you a Super Bowl prediction this week, and I'll talk to you later, man. I wish you were on Radio Row, by the way. And you mentioned Mad Dog, too, on that. Dude, man, I'm telling you, a lot of people are irate that Stephen A's show is replayed at 6 Eastern. You guys need that spot, man. I'm telling you. It'd be awesome.
I guess I'll throw together a resume and call Mad Dog Sports Radio's hotline. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I didn't expect Carlos and I to be on that list. The show ended. There were two shows from our network, Gelb and Maggie and Perloff. I don't know. I thought with how much clearance we had, PDs that knew us, I thought maybe. But I wasn't expecting it. And that I you know, let me, I am going to frame it this way because it's how I feel. First of all, I am having a hard time. You're right. If you're on Twitter and you're like having a hard time, you're right. Why am I having a hard time? All these files that have come out with all this stuff that is happening in our world. And we're just like, I got to get to work. What? So it seems like, and this is how I'll relate it to me. It seems like there's this society of people who are controlling things. And now I don't want to be in that society. That society, they do some fucked up shit. But it does seem like if you want success, you have to. I feel like sports radio has become the same, not the same way. But, you know, you have to kiss the ring and kiss ass, and that's just not something I've ever been good at. And so I'm not going to be on these lists. And I've talked a lot about sports radio. I want acknowledgement and approval and respect from people that I would not offer any of those three things to. It's kind of a fucked up thing. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of weird shit going on, and it should be talked about more, and no news stations are covering it, and I don't want to just sit there and tweet about Epstein all the goddamn time, but what the fuck? All right, this is from Tom, Teacher Tom. In the school year, he's Teacher Tom, and then in the summer, he's Painter Tom.
Hey, this is Teacher Tom, and thinking about Giannis, I have a thought that I'm surprised I haven't heard picked up other places, but wondering how kind of Giannis's attitude and in and out and whatever else, how much of that has to do with his family being in Greece. You know, we hear about how he's such a big family man, and we've seen tons of examples of it. You know, the bubble was tough for him back in 2020 because he couldn't have his family there. Well, now with his wife and kids in Greece, like, that has to be affecting him. You know, just like when Dame came to Milwaukee a couple years ago and couldn't see his kids. So I wonder how much Giannis is dealing with that, and if that has anything to do with trade requests. You know, did they go to Greece because they knew he might want to leave Milwaukee? Or is he planning to stay in Milwaukee, but a losing season combined with his family not here and his injuries, that just playing into his body language a bunch? Who knows? But anyways, I am excited that you inspired me to buy the giant tub of peanut M&Ms, because peanut is the best, and I will be eating those with my Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Pick and Save actually has the 12 packs of those on sale right now, but it'll probably be a huge sale starting Wednesday, because Super Bowl week, they always do buy two, get three free for the 12 pack. So then it'll be like 5 for $22. But I will talk to you later. Bye.
All right, let me talk about Pick and Save first, and then the M&Ms, because I say one day about how I can't stop eating M&Ms, and I've gotten more reaction on M&Ms that would make me think I'd be a good spokesman. So I hope the same amount of you that have been going and getting M&Ms after I talked about how they've tasted better than ever before for me are also going to get Dan Shaney as your insurance agent. Dan Shaney. .com. You see the logo at the top right of my YouTube stream, which is brought to you by Dan Shaney. Dan, Dan, SCHANI.com. Dan Shaney. Go to him for your insurance. I'll talk about him like I talk about M&Ms. Man, Dan Shaney just has never... I was going to say tasted so good. I don't want to say that. Dan Shaney, man, the insurance, it's never made me feel better. My rates. Yeah, there you go. So check out Dan Shaney. Also, Pick and Save. Yeah, they have these deals, Tom. I need a deal where the soda, where the 12-pack of soda is less than $5. That's what I need. $5 is still my line for soda. So I saw that they had buy two, get two free. But the packs are $10.99. 12-pack of soda should not be $10.99. We all know it. So buy two, get two. So now I'm getting four for $22. How about you just make them $5? But the deal's not even under $5. Buy two, get three free. That might be worth a trip. But is that just cans? I like the bottles. They're easier to carry and store. And then if I don't finish... I know, like, Grant gives me shit for drinking Diet Coke out of a bottle. That does taste like shit compared to the can. Soda, the Mountain Dew is fine in the bottle. But they're all ruse. Like, oh, buy two of the bottles. They used to be $6.99. Now it's buy two, get two free. But they're $7.49. The price went up. These motherfuckers at these grocery stores act like I ain't noticing the price going up. Nah. What do you think? I'm fucking beady eyes. I got 20/10 vision. I'm looking at those goddamn prices every time I go in there. Giannis's family being in Greece, they are in Greece, right? Like, I haven't seen them at swimming, but there was like a report that they're going to. I don't know. I haven't seen anything like totally confirmed that they're there. Somebody DM me and said they're not there. I think they're there. I know they were at this thing in Chicago the other day, And we've seen him shoot some buckets with his kids. But let's say they are in Greece. Let's say Giannis's family's in Greece. Yeah, that's going to be hard on you when you are here and they're in Greece. But is that going to mean he's going to get traded to somewhere? Unless he's getting traded to fucking Greece, he's still an ocean away. Oh, well, there's direct flights from New York City. Okay. Still a 9-hour flight. Greece. Well, he wants to be closer to Greece. So he's going to be traded to the Bulls. I want to be closer to the moon. So I'm going to move to Florida. None of that shit makes any sense. What the fuck are you guys talking about? All right, here's Jake.
What's up, Winklerverse? It's your boy Hot Take Jake. Let me talk to you. First things first, Bart, I want to thank you for posting that video of you busting your shit on the ice. It takes a lot of balls to post that, and I think we've all lived through that as Wisconsinites, and we've all been there where we're laying on the ground thinking, like, yeah, why don't we just end it right here? So kudos to you, buddy. I know that's tough. Also, I want to preemptively thank you for the trade deadline special that you're going to be doing, although I must ask humbly, as far as who you should have on that show, let's pass on Horvat, who I listened to last week's show with him, where he gave us some Bucks Giannis trade analysis after admitting that he does not watch the NBA. And then also listening to the national perspective with Carlos, who claimed that Minnesota has the best package to offer the Bucks, claiming young players and picks, then offered no further analysis of who that was. Maybe he thought Zach Lowe was going to be a big part of that trade, not just a throw-in. So is Paul available? Can we get Paul on the show? And also, Carlos, dude, the Knicks, that's your prediction on who's going to land him. Because the Bucks are going to want to do right by Giannis. I mean, you got to come with something better than that. I mean, that's just like I saw a post saying that our friend Bill Michaels just said that Giannis is going to stay in Milwaukee because his mom and dad love living in Milwaukee. Giannis's mom and dad love it here. So he's not going anywhere, according to the unit himself. So that is the stellar Milwaukee Bucks coverage that we get here in our lovely city of Milwaukee / state of Wisconsin. Can't wait for the show Thursday. I'd love to make an appearance if I can. If not, again, thank you, buddy. Love the Winklerverse. We'll see you soon.
All right, I'll comment on some of that. So when the trade deadline happens, I'll go live. I just got to make sure that my kid's not going to be all in my face. Trade deadline is, it's during the day? Okay, that'll be fine. The trade deadline's Thursday at 2? Okay, yeah, I'll go live from like 1:30 to 3. I don't know that I'll have anybody planned. It'll have to be you guys. But I don't have anybody planned to join us. So it'll be a live show with the link for you to join. One more from David. He wants to talk Super Bowl.
Hey, Bart, what's up? This is David from Buffalo. All right, let's just get it off my chest right now with a Super Bowl prediction. I think this game comes down to the quarterback play. Neither guy has been in the Super Bowl before, and I think both these offensive coordinators are going to have their hands full, going up against these opposing defenses. I think Josh McDaniels is going to have to call a more aggressive game than he called in the playoffs for Drake May. And it'll be interesting with that shoulder injury, how hurt he really is. The other thing, too, Bart, is Jim Nance brought this up in the AFC Championship. Drake May grew up as a Carolina Panthers fan. The last time the Super Bowl was in this stadium, the Panthers played Denver there, if you remember. And Cam Newton tried to do a little bit too much in that game, and it really cost them the game. Did Drake May as a teenager, he probably doesn't remember a lot about the game, but did he watch highlights of that? Does he remember how Newton tried to extend plays when he shouldn't have? That's going to be the key with New England. I think with Darnold, to me, the key to this game is, you always hear the term in golf, aggressive swings to conservative targets. I think that's how Kubiak's got to coach this game, Bart. He's got to say, Darnold, let it rip, but don't be trying to make too many plays that are outlandish or outrageous
make plays that where you stay within yourself, because that's what Darnold did well in the playoffs and the regular season. But if he tries to do things that he shouldn't be doing, like we saw at the end of his time with Minnesota, that can really cost them, you know, in this game. So I think that's going to be the key to this game. Which offensive coordinator can call a more effective game plan for these two quarterbacks? Because I'm going to be honest, man, these guys are going to be nervous in this game. I think the first 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes of this game, it's going to be like a boxer kind of jabbing each other. The two boxers just jabbing. I don't think we're going to see any real counter punches until later in this game, until that first real hit or that first real emotional burst of the game where somebody makes a big play. So I look at this, man, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game in the first half, and I think we get somewhere like a 27-24 type game. I like Seattle to win, but I think it's going to be really close. And if there's any coach that could pull off an upset and that was involved with the Patriots back when they were the so-called underdogs, Vrabel would be the guy that could do it. I think a very, very close game. And I think both teams are going to, you know, it's going to be very evenly matched. I think both teams are going to go into the fourth quarter saying, hey, we could win this game if we do this and we do that. So I think it's going to come down to a chess match or a coaching decision in the fourth quarter who wins it. But I'll go Seattle by 3 unless somebody pulls the Eugene Robinson this week. I think it's a hell of a football game, man. That's all I got for you. Talk to it.
David in Buffalo again. You can get your voicemails in 402-915-BART. It's 2278. Number's been on your screen. I need to win a lot of money on this game. Last year in the Super Bowl, I thought that the only way the Eagles were going to win is if they won by a lot of points. I had Eagles minus 19. I took it everywhere I could. It was the highest I could go. They won by 18. I could have won a lot of money, and I didn't. So I'm kind of chasing that. Also, I don't have a job. So I need to win a lot of money. But I have no idea how this game is going to go. I like that breakdown. Could be nervous at first. Sam Darnold has been in a Super Bowl before. Did not play. Wasn't he with the Niners? But I need to make some money. I think at first I had Patriots. Now I'm kind of leaning Seahawks. We'll talk to Horvat this week and try to figure out where we're at, where we can win some money. I am going to wish you the best of a Tuesday. If you want to go see Armin at the Admirals game, please do. I have not eaten since 3 o'clock yesterday. It's 11 now. I'm going to eat now. That's a 20-hour fast. I do kind of want to see how far I can go. Maybe I will. But also, I really want those Hot Pockets. Yeah, I'm going to eat. I'm hungry. We will have trade deadline this week. We will have props this week. We got a lot more coming at you. Remember to like and subscribe and share with your friends. Thank you for stopping into the Winklerverse.
Hey, everybody, it's Babs. I am so excited to tell you about Birch Lane, a brand that shares my passion for classic style and joyful living. Their classic furniture and decor helps you celebrate it all, from big holiday gatherings to everyday moments at home. Each piece is carefully crafted and delivered fast and free, so you can celebrate what matters most. Shop my hand-picked Birch Lane collection and more classic styles at birchlane.com.